Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk vascular surgery this morning. Dr. Sadie Ahanchi with the Oracle Heart and Vascular in Fredericksburg is here this morning. Dr. Ahanchi, it's great to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to meet you. Thank you for having me.
The great thing about this is that, especially when you just told me that when the call went out at Oracle, who'd like to do this? And you, you know, you jumped,
I jumped up.
You wanted to do it.
I did.
I sometimes have guests that are just like, oh, I've been nervous about this, and I've done this, and I've been, you know, I have to do this, but you want to be here.
I did. I'm still that generation that you used to listen to the radio all the time.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So it is good to have you here. For people who don't know, Oracle's a great place. A lot of great services there.
Fantastic.
Talk a little
practice
about what Oracle does.
So Oracle is a multi-specialty group here in Fredericksburg that focuses on heart and vascular. So we have a large number of cardiology providers, vascular surgery. We have our own outpatient procedure lab where we do arterial and venous work, right in the heart of Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
And wonderful.
As we talk about some of these topics today and some of these procedures that you're involved with or that are offered there, the great thing is it's offered here. You can look at some of these things, and if I had known about the work of Oracle, I would have thought you probably have got to go out of town to get
absolutely
this done,
not.
And you don't have to.
Yeah. All here in Fredericksburg, easy to get in and out, wonderful staff. It's a fantastic practice.
So how did you get involved with vascular surgery? How when little Sadie was growing
up?
Yeah,
how did it happen?
Yeah.
You know, it was just kind of I was very fortunate to have some pretty amazing mentors through med school and residency. And at that time, the pathway was to do general surgery first after you finished med school. And during that training, I kind of met some vascular surgeons that introduced me to the specialty, and I kind of fell in love with it. It's a great specialty. You get to have this kind of long-term relationship with your patients because you follow them for years and years for their disease process. And it's an older patient population, which I generally really enjoy. And you have a variety of kind of surgeries that you do. So it doesn't get boring. You're not doing the same thing every day.
I would also think that some of the things that we're talking about today and how you treat things today is vastly different, just with technology.
Oh my gosh, so true. I actually was talking to a patient yesterday. So one of the things that we treat is aneurysms in the abdomen,
okay,
right? And so probably 20, 30 years ago, really when I was starting training, we would have to make a big cut in the abdomen to like go in there and physically, you know, open up the aneurysm, sew something to it to address it. And nowadays we fix it with just two IVs in the groin, about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You go home the next day.
Wow. That was
huge change.
I looked at some of this and I did say to you ahead of time, I said, I am looking at words and procedures and situations.
What is this stuff?
I never even heard of any of this. But I thought these are the kinds of things that, you know, like in my parents' or grandparents' age, if you went in for something like this, you'd have this massive
And sometimes not even anything, right? Because if you're of a certain age and have a lot of other medical issues, it's too dangerous.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, it's vascular surgery in particular has vastly changed in the last 10 to 20 years with the advent of, you know, what we call endovascular, which is doing stuff from inside the blood vessel through an IV.
The fact that we talk about doing things in a blood vessel, I mean, this is the
it's
other
like
part of this.
It's like a video game.
When we talk about the technology of all of this, it's just amazing that you can even get to something like this. I could see you look at it with an to me, in the past, probably there were some of these things you could look at an X-ray and know, yeah, there's a blockage here or this or there, but, you know, what do you do? And the things that we can do now.
It's amazing. It's the pioneers that kind of shifted therapies and vascular surgery. It's astounding. And it's helped so many more people.
Yeah, see, boy, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people and just the longevity of life that you're able to provide.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That these are the kinds of things that in the past that were very difficult to do, or the outcomes might
not
be as successful.
Yeah, or the recovery from, the complications from. I mean, you know, it's a different ballgame now than it was before.
And I guess that's got to be exciting for you, this being your field.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah, it feels great. I mean, you can do, speaking specifically at Oracle, we can, you know, treat a good number of patients in one day that would have taken you, you know, months to do otherwise.
Hmm. And yeah. Again, it's right here. Right here in Fredericksburg. How did you get to Fredericksburg?
That is a great question. So I did all my training, and I grew up in Illinois. And once I finished general surgery residency, was looking to, again, do that fellowship in vascular surgery. And so it's kind of a process. You apply to a bunch of places. You pick your top match. They pick their top match. And so I matched in Norfolk, Virginia, mm-hmm. which is where I did my fellowship in vascular surgery. And then they asked me to stay on as faculty there. I was there for about 10 years. Before I needed a change, and my kids were getting older. And so I got an offer for a job here in Fredericksburg about 4 years ago, and that's what brought me down here.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, I love Fredericksburg. It's a great location.
And good stuff. We're going to jump into this and talk about some of these procedures that you do and that are available Oracle. For a quick break, and we'll come back and get going. Oracle Heart and Vascular in this morning as we talk about vascular surgery with Dr. Sadie Ahanchi. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
All righty, great stuff with Oracle Heart and Vascular and Dr. Sadie Ahanchi here this morning as we talk about vascular surgery. This I'm letting you in on a little secret here, because since there are so many words here
Ooh.
That I don't know, this overall question will get us into. I'm hoping you're able to say some of these words I can't say.
That's cheating.
So we'll say it is cheating. It's totally cheating. But vascular surgeries. What are some of the things you treat?
So, you know, like we were talking about earlier, really from a simple perspective, what we do is we treat the blood vessels that get diseased, that feed the different organs in your body, with the exception of the heart. So we don't deal with the heart.
So you're dealing with everything outside
of
the heart.
Correct, outside the heart. So starting from the top, your carotid arteries, which are the arteries that supply your brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes they get narrowed and we treat that. In the abdomen, like I mentioned earlier, things like aneurysms, where the blood vessels get bigger than normal, we treat that. When you have narrowings, hardening, and blockages to the blood vessels of the legs, we call that peripheral arterial disease, or PAD. We treat that. We also treat venous disease in the leg, so what we call venous insufficiency or venous reflux, leg swelling, varicose veins, that kind of thing. And then sometimes we also deal with patients who are going to be on dialysis or on dialysis that have, access or fistulas or grafts in their arm for their dialysis.
Yeah.
That's kind of the bulk of what we do.
When does a person know that they need to see you? I guess that I'm guessing that there are warning signs, is a lot of this
so
silent?
Sometimes there's not. That's a great question.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say the two most common silent disease processes that we treat are carotid disease, which is that vessel in the neck that goes to the brain, and the aneurysms that I spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, with carotid disease, a lot of times it's picked up on screening ultrasounds.
Okay.
You have vascular disease somewhere else in your body, your primary care doctor, you know, you turn 65, they say, okay, well, let's just screen you for carotid disease. You get a non-invasive ultrasound. They look at the blood vessel to see if there's narrowing, hardening, plaque, atherosclerosis, however you want to phrase it. And, you know, depending on the degree of narrowing, we get a little more or less excited about it in terms of, you know, what we need to do for management. But with that, you know, your risk is stroke. And ideally, we want to catch the disease process before that happens.
Sure.
Right? And so you could have a severe degree of narrowing and not know it at all because you have not had a stroke. And so we want to capture it before that happens. And it's similar situation with aneurysms too, right? As your blood vessel grows, you don't really feel it. But then it reaches this threshold that you have the risk of it rupturing. The wall doesn't have that integrity that it did before. And we want to catch that before the rupture happens. So there's, you know, narrowing criteria for the carotid and size criteria for aortic aneurysms that we monitor and intervene on before it becomes a problem.
I guess this is why it's important for regular checkups.
Oh, 100%.
Or you know, for some of these scans,
yeah,
that you're able to see something, that you can see something in a scan that you don't have any idea.
And even easier than a scan, Ted, it's an ultrasound, right? You don't have to get an IV. There's nothing invasive that happens. It's literally the same thing they use to look at babies. You come in, you get an ultrasound. For those two disease processes, those are great screening tools.
Yeah, because aneurysms are always, I mean, I think everyone's fear.
Yeah, and really, like, once you turn, first of all, if you have a family history of aneurysms, you should get it checked out sooner, probably around 50.
Okay.
Again, just a screening ultrasound takes about, you know, 30, 45 minutes to do. And then if you're worried about it, I'm pretty sure, you know, the Welcome to Medicare package, what's included in that, is a screening ultrasound at 65. Anyone who's a smoker should get that for sure, because that's one of the risk factors that lead to aneurysm and accelerate aneurysm growth. And same with the carotid. If you have any evidence of vascular disease anywhere else in your body, get one screening ultrasound. Neither of these disease processes progress quickly. Right. So if you get one test at 65 and it's normal, for the most part, you're probably safe for the rest of your life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, this is, I guess, a good illustration to talk about just knowing your family history.
Oh, yeah.
And having an idea. And I guess lifestyle, if you've been a smoker or if you haven't taken care of yourself, you probably stand some risk of having some kind of vascular
diseases. And those are the two big things when I'm in an office talking with patients and they say, well, what is this from? Like, why is this happening? And that's pretty broad across all vascular pathology. It's genetics, right?
Yeah.
And it's lifestyle. And the biggest thing in lifestyle for vascular is probably smoking, like well above everything else. And then overall, heart health and weight. Like those are probably the three biggest indicators of having some sort of vascular disease.
So I guess when we talk about ways to avoid some of these things.
Don't smoke.
Right. there's just every single doctor who comes through here without exception.
Yeah.
In any kind of situation talks about, boy, smoking just,
it's horrible.
There's nothing at the end that's going to help
and
you.
And I get it. I get it, Ted. I mean, it's a strong addiction. It's a hard habit to break.
Yeah.
But for your vascular health, it's absolutely awful. I always have patients that say, oh, I had a grandma that lived till she was 110 and she used to smoke every day. And I say, well, that's great, right? But the vast majority of people cannot do that. And if you're predisposed to some vascular disease and you smoke, you are greatly accelerating the progression of your disease.
That's a good, that is a good, that should be an eye opener.
Yeah,
it's hard
though. It's a very challenging, but not to say that there's a lot of my patients that get to the point where they stop. It's totally doable, right? I mean, we see people quit all the time, but it's a tough addiction to have, the nicotine and the smoking.
And I guess along with that too, and especially when we're talking about keeping the blood flowing and vascular issues, is just having a good diet and
exercise. Yeah, walking is really underrated. You know, doing a little bit of walking every day, it's not only good for your leg circulation, it's great for your heart, it's great for your mood. You know, it's physical activity also huge.
I'm happy you said that because I walk in my neighborhood. I try to for at least an hour, and I look for hills and
you do.
And do that
I mean,
kind
that's
of things.
One of the best things that you can do. And in fact, when we intervene on PAD, so peripheral arterial disease, the blockages in the leg, one of the things we emphasize with our patients after we improve their circulation is walk, at least 30 minutes, 5 days a week. That should be the minimum. Yeah. The more you do, the better.
Now, you were telling me with the peripheral arterial disease, because I was thinking, because a lot of times you'll be asked about, you know, to look for swelling in the legs, but in this case, it's not a swelling of
it's
the legs.
It's not a, that's a very common misconception.
Yeah.
So I usually, in my mind, kind of separate arterial and venous disease in terms of their symptoms by what's happening in the leg, right? So for, remember your arteries are what's taking blood flow to the muscles, right? Pressurized, taking blood flow from the muscles, coming from the heart. If you are walking, your leg muscles ask for more blood flow. The longer you walk or the faster you walk. If you have narrowing and blockages on that pathway to the muscle, once you get to a certain distance, the muscle says, hey, I'm not getting the blood flow that I need, and it sends out a pain signal, right? So a lot of times with arterial disease, what we see is something called claudication, which is discomfort, pain, weakness, however you want to describe it, at a set distance of walking that's very reproducible, that goes away when you rest. So when you rest, the muscle doesn't need that increased blood flow, the pain quickly goes away. But as soon as you get up and you walk again for that distance, the muscle says, I don't like this, I'm in pain, and you have that symptom again. So that's claudication that's very typical of early PAD. Now, if PAD progresses to something more severe, you can get what's called rest pain, which is, you know, pretty much pain 24/7, right? And then that can even progress to things like wounds and ulcers and more serious issues. On the venous side, right, your veins just passively take blood flow back up to the heart. They actually have little valves inside of them that prevent blood from flowing downward when you're sitting or standing and gravity is trying to push down on the blood, right? It's very common for people as they get older, especially women, for those valves to become ineffective or leaky, however you want to term it. And now when you're sitting or standing, blood is slowly flowing downward in the vein, building pressure, building getting engorged, and that's what can cause things like spider veins, varicose veins, leg swelling, discomfort at the end of the day, or heaviness in your legs at the end of the day. Leg swelling is tricky because leg swelling can also be caused by a multitude of other things. But for the purposes of venous disease, that kind of falls into that category, whereas, you know, the leg pain with walking, the ulcers, that kind of falls in the arterial category.
I guess this is something, and I can see you're great at explaining this.
Oh, thank you.
Very
I've
good.
Had a little bit of time to practice.
It's very good. But to have some of these pains or to have some of these things, these are, I guess, something to, if this is just more than just I'm now exercising and I'm a little bit sore, but after you've done it a while and you continue to have it.
You can see like, oh, I walk this distance. Every time I walk this distance, my leg starts to hurt.
Yeah.
It's, again, for the most part, vascular screening is an ultrasound. It's non-invasive. It's a quick test. Gives you a ton of information. So for arterial and venous disease, an ultrasound can answer both of those questions.
Boy, and to be able to do that and to know that this, just for the peace of mind.
Oh, yeah.
There may be nothing there, but if there is, then you're able to start treating it.
Yeah, and just monitor it, right? Yesterday I was talking to a patient and we were planning a surgery and she was a little bit anxious, understandably so, right? And I said, you know, this is actually a blessing to find something before it becomes an issue and address it in an elective way. To me, that's a win versus waiting for something catastrophic to happen and then trying to like catch up with what you need to do.
Boy, I would feel that I dodged a bullet to be able to do that. And I'm sure with you, that's got to it's a great day when you're able to say we can do this and we can avoid this happening.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very fortunate with what I do.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It's just, well, and just the fact, again, that we talk, I still keep thinking this is one of those areas. So many areas in medicine are like this now, but this really is one of those areas where technology has just been a game changer.
Oh, for sure. Even the ultrasounds that we're talking about. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not a new thing, but as the years go on, their accuracy becomes better and better.
Quick break. We're going to continue on this morning. Good stuff. It is Dr. Sadie Ahanchi with Oracle Heart and Vascular. It is OracleHeartVA.com if you'd like more information on them and everything available in Fredericksburg. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is just about 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning. I am learning so much from Dr. Sadie Ahanchi from Oracle Heart and Vascular in Fredericksburg. You do a great job of describing really some complicated and some scary things.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I mean, I understand if you don't know anything about vascular surgery, it's good to kind of hear it in a simple form. I mean, really, it's all plumbing.
Yeah, no, that is
plumbing. Human plumbing.
I never thought of that until you just said, Now that makes total sense. So we've kind of talked about some of the issues and some of the problems out there. So how do you treat all of this?
Great question. So, you know, again, starting from kind of the top of the body, when we talk about carotid stenosis, the neck artery to the brain, and kind of in general, a lot of the narrowing type vascular arterial diseases that we treat, they're all treated kind of similarly. We try to do minimally invasive first, so what we call endovascular, where we put an IV in, and from inside the artery, we'll do things like ballooning, stenting, roto-rootering, which has kind of some different forms. And if that doesn't work, then we kind of move to open surgery, like what's called an endarterectomy, where we clean out the blood vessel, bypass surgery, where we go around the blockage. And that kind of applies for both carotid and lower extremity arterial disease, that kind of algorithm. Generally, carotid stuff is done in the hospital, just because it carries that risk of stroke, and you want to monitor patients for a little bit of a longer time period afterwards. All the leg stuff that we do, so what we call an angiogram, where we go in with the IV and do the work to try to improve the circulation, that's all done as an outpatient. We do it in our lab over there at Oracle. Takes about an hour and a half to do, and patients recover for a couple hours afterwards. They go home, and then they resume normal activity the next day.
That's amazing to me.
It's absolutely amazing. And you feel the improvement pretty much immediately, right? So we'll have patients that, you know, they can only walk a quarter of a block before they get discomfort because of their arterial blockages.
Right.
And when we're able to open up the blood vessel and restore it to as normal as possible, the next day they walk and they don't have that discomfort. I mean, it's immediate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool.
For people that are struggling with this, to be able to feel that right away has got to be
quite a moment. Because sometimes patients, you know, they get into a situation where they don't even know they have PAD. They're being treated for something else. And oftentimes it'll be like spine issues. Like they're mistaking their pain for something coming from their back. And they end up eventually getting a workup and coming to us and having their PAD addressed. And it's life-changing for them.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, we all like to walk.
Right. And without pain and without discomfort.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and again, like you said, I hadn't even thought of that. When you, you're probably not the first person someone thinks of when you do have these kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, vascular surgery is a little bit of an esoteric specialty. Like I was telling you earlier, a lot of times people, when I tell them, "Oh, I'm a vascular surgeon," they'll be like, "Oh, you operate on hearts?" Right. And it's kind of like, not really. It's just the blood vessels outside of the heart. And so I think a lot of people just don't know what vascular disease is outside the heart. I mean, everybody knows heart attacks, mm-hmm. you know, blockages there. So just educating the community about what PAD is, what carotid stenosis is, what aneurysms are, and that all of them, once identified, are straightforward to treat. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the arterial disease in the neck and the leg. Those are treated with stenting and all that kind of stuff, and bypass if needed. But the aneurysms also, you know, they used to be treated all open, like I mentioned earlier, which was a big deal. Nowadays, I would say probably 85-90% of them can be treated endovascularly, minimally invasively, where we essentially reline the flow channel of the blood vessel. So the aorta, the big blood vessel that runs down the back, we reline it with a covered stent to redirect blood flow into the stent and exclude it from the aneurysm itself. Because, you know, the danger with the aneurysm is it's getting pressurized.
Right.
So the risk of rupture happens because the constant pressurization of this dilated sac. Once you put a covered stent graft inside of it,
it takes the pressure away.
It depressurizes it. It essentially takes away that risk of rupture. So that's, we don't, patients always say, are you going to take out the aneurysm? We don't take out the aneurysm when we do it endovascularly. We just reline it so it no longer carries that risk of rupture. And that's called an endovascular aneurysm repair. We love mnemonics. EVAR is what we call it.
Yeah. I guess a lot of so often some of these problems would go undiagnosed, or I would think.
I mean, with the advent of like CT scans and a lot of, so with aneurysm in particular, people go to the ER because of something else, right?
Yeah.
A car accident, they have a UTI, everybody's getting a CAT scan. So a lot of times our aneurysm patients, their aneurysms are just found incidentally on CAT scan when they're in the ER getting something else worked up. Yeah.
Again, that's one of those situations where I think I would feel glad.
Blessing.
That somebody saw this.
Yeah.
And knew that there was
even
a problem.
Even if it's small and it doesn't need to be repaired, at least you know you have and it can be monitored over time.
Yeah, just again, just it's just the technology. Just
it's amazing.
And
and
the treatment is not. The treatment is not nearly as severe as I would
have thought. Yes.
Right, invasive.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, it's. I mean, that's why I was excited to come here. It's exciting things to talk about. You know, recognizing the disease processes, the treatment options. It's cool stuff.
No, it certainly is, and especially the case that if I had to come to you for something and then I went away and you know it was. I was telling people, yeah, I'm going to have, I need to have vascular surgery. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's, you know, and you'd think, and it, the fact when you're talking about, you know, same day you're getting out and you know, resuming your life.
Yeah.
So many of these cases seem like it's like
that.
Oh,
the vast majority nowadays is much less invasive than it was before. Keeping in mind that, you know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, me and you, is that a lot of patients that have vascular disease that I'm seeing, that process is happening all over their body. And so that's why this combination of cardiology and vascular surgery is so natural, because a lot of the patients that have coronary artery disease, that process is happening in their legs, in their neck, you know? So we share a lot of patients together.
It seems like with a lot of these cases, Dr. Hanachi, that there is hope, that there is, this isn't.
Oh, most definitely. Oh, yeah,
because
100%.
Because a lot of times you'd look at some of this and think, now everybody's different, but this is all treatable.
Oh, 100%. And I think the difference maybe between this and some other disease processes is it's a partnership between you and the patient. I can improve your circulation, right? But then after that, it's up to you to quit smoking, to walk, to do the things that we need to keep your circulation tip top.
Well, it's so interesting the fact that we're talking vascular, because I, you know, if someone had said, you're going to, you know, a month or so ago, we're going to talk about vascular surgery, and I would be thinking, oh, we're going to talk about heart surgery.
Yeah, and that's the vast majority of people,
like
what they think. Yeah, that's
not
what they think. But it's not the heart. It's the similar process, but it's all the other blood vessels that are going to all the other organs of your body.
Well, and you think about this, and you talk about, you know, vascular surgery as far as, you know, dealing with the plumbing and things like that. There are so many other things that tie into this, whether it can be sometimes memory or just, you know, just being able to move.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's stuff that impacts your everyday life, especially the lower extremity stuff. I mean, we take for granted being healthy and being able to walk for a mile or two without any issues. And when that goes away, I mean, it's devastating. It can really impact your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess to know that you can be treated around here, don't ignore these kinds of things, especially if you can get it tested with an ultrasound.
Yeah, tested and treated very easily. Like I said, here in Fredericksburg, you don't have to go to Northern Virginia and drive for 2 hours and come back for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, Oracle has a state-of-the-art angiographic lab. We do arterial work, which is those, you know, the ballooning and the stenting that I'm talking about in the legs. We do venous work, where we, you know, treat that venous insufficiency or reflux that I talked about earlier with a similarly easy procedure. So vein disease, I didn't talk about it, but it's treated with something called vein ablation. So if you have venous reflux, you have those varicose veins, spider veins, leg swelling, fullness and heaviness at the end of the day. We generally try to get you to wear some compression socks as a first line treatment to slow down the process, if not treat some of the symptoms. And if that doesn't work, the definitive treatment is something called venous ablation, where we go into the vein with an IV and we either heat seal it shut, the dysfunctional vein, or we put little aliquots of glue to shut it down. And in particular with the glue, like, I've had people go to work the same day, right afterwards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is
vascular disease common in the U.S.? It sounds like.
Oh, super common. I don't know the exact numbers, but, you know, especially as we get a larger proportion of older patients, right? Because it's a process that happens over time.
Right.
It's very rare that I treat patients that are, say, under 40.
I was going to ask you that. Does that sound like the
younger
people?
Venous disease, yes. So, you know, the venous disease happens in younger people, especially females. So that patient population is a little bit different. Also not as, like, acutely dangerous as the arterial disease. Venous disease is not as kind of serious. In terms of it can really hurt you. And that patient population is generally a little bit younger, but everything else is, like, usually over 65.
Okay. So that, but again, that shows if you're younger now, you can do things to prevent having some of these problems.
Yeah.
And some things that aren't too difficult or things that you should be doing.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think people, for the most part, know what behavioral things are healthy for them, is just trying to convince them to do that.
And again, if you smoke,
please stop. That's the message of this whole hour today.
It is, yeah.
Please stop smoking.
That's the one thing. And I guess if you've been a smoker, you can't undo it, but
I mean, cut down. You know, I always tell patients, like, I'm not here to, like, shame them, right? So even if you're attempting to cut down and you're just cutting out maybe a couple cigarettes a day, that's still progress, right? I don't expect you to quit tomorrow. But know that it's not helping your health, for sure.
Well, and the fact that you're not going to come out of, the other side of this is health. And in most cases, you're not going to come out with, you know, giant scars and that kind of thing.
No, oh gosh, not at all. I mean, we still do open surgery. So, you know, we still do bypasses. We still do open aneurysm repairs. We still do endarterectomies or cleaning out the carotids. Those are still done, but it's rare. You know, for the most part, it's a pretty easy treatment options.
How many patients do you generally see?
A lot.
Do you see a just the fact that, I mean, that
yeah,
you know, that
so
shows.
I usually have surgeries on Monday. I have office where I just see patients on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then on Wednesdays, we do arterial work at the office in our lab where we do angiograms. And on Fridays, I usually do vein work. So, and it's a packed schedule. It's a lot of disease. It's the South. We got the tobacco belt, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And people's lifestyles sometimes aren't that healthy. And they have, and, you know, not also just genetics, right?
Yeah,
I've seen sometimes the young patients that we see, it's totally not anything that they're doing. It's just bad genes that they got handed down to them.
You got to deal with that.
Yeah.
What? I forgot. GAO is what it was?
GAE.
GAE.
Geniculate artery embolization.
That's easy for you to say.
It is. So knee pain that is not a candidate for knee replacement, maybe because of age or other medical issues. This is a minimally invasive, so endovascular way that we treat arthritic knee pain. We inject some beads that essentially clot off the little capillaries that go to the joint that cause pain and inflammation, and having wonderful results with it. Yeah. So it's a procedure, again, you come in a couple hours there at the lab, do the injections, and then, you know, it can take a couple weeks to a couple months for you to see the full impact of it, but we've been having a lot of positive feedback from patients.
Well, I guess one of the other thing is, since so much of this is kind of in the silent category, the screenings are important. Even if you don't think, you know, I exercise, I eat right, like you say, you could have family history behind you that you don't know about. So that's why these screenings are so important.
Yeah, screenings are huge, again, because a lot of these, like you had mentioned earlier, a lot of these vascular diseases can be silent. And I would want to know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And to have some, and to be thankful when someone does see something and say, hey, you might want to go see a specialist who can who can look at this kind of thing.
And at Oracle, we really try to go out into the community to the primary care doctors because, you know, sometimes they are also not completely informed about what should be screened, what should be sent over. So we really try to like touch base with primary care providers so that they are also educated on who needs to be screened, what needs to be sent over.
Well, when we talk about just the numbers, and just because society today is not as active as it should be, and we don't eat what we should, that unfortunately what you do, the number of people having risks and having problems continues to increase.
Especially as the, again, especially as that population of older patients continues to get much, much larger. I think that, you know, there's definitely a need in Fredericksburg, period, for specialists. I mean, it's a thriving community. It's growing.
Yeah.
The age is getting, you know, older. And so it's important to have these services here in Fredericksburg.
Well, I think the great thing of having you in here this morning to talk about this is that so often when we hear, well, they have hardening of the arteries, and that there's, and you kind of say that with the, kind of an air of
there's
of resignation.
There's
nothing more, you know, hardening of the arteries.
Oh,
happened.
My gosh.
But as you have talked about things, there's a lot
there's
that can
a
be
lot
done.
That can be done. And, you know, a lot of times patients will say, well, is there a medication that I can take that's going to reverse this? And even from that perspective, there's not a medication that reverses it, but there 100% are medications and things you can do to drastically slow down the progression of vascular disease.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just be open to some of those of those things.
Yeah.
Because you do think, at least with vascular disease, I think before I talked to you, I would have said, yeah, there's a lot of things they can do. You know, a heart doctor can do, you know, they can do a lot with the heart, but you know, the arteries, you know,
and I'll frequently tell people, you know, if you know what a cardiologist does, we do a similar thing, but just in the other parts of the body that aren't the heart.
Yeah.
Because cardiologists do the, you know, they do the stenting, the ballooning, the roto-rootering of the tiny little blood vessels that are supplying the heart. We're just doing the same thing with the legs.
Yeah. I've learned so much this morning.
Yay, I'm so happy.
I've learned so much. Dr. Sadie Ahachi from Oracle Heart and Vascular is here this morning. Again, the website is oracleheartva.com. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Ad Council.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning. Oracle Heart and Vascular. They are in Fredericksburg over near Mary Washington Hospital.
Correct. 1011 Care Way, I think.
So do people get to you? Do they have to get referred to get to
that
Oracle?
That depends on their insurance. So from our standpoint, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Dr. Ahachi does vascular surgery, and I just feel so much smarter today than I was just an hour ago.
I'm glad I can do that for you.
There really are so many things.
It's a fantastic specialty.
Yeah.
And again, I was so happy to come on and talk about it because this is my passion, and I think it's important for people to know, and it's good for people to address these things before they become a big problem.
And if you have, if you have things, like you said, pains that come up if you're walking and after you go a mile and a half or something, you always get a pain at the same time, don't ignore those kinds of things. It might be something that's very treatable.
100%. 100%.
Get your, you don't know your family history, so you know that, you know, maybe I do everything right. I've never smoked any of these kinds of things.
But know your family history. Be active. Don't smoke, and if you do smoke, try to quit. Talk to your PCP about your symptoms. If you're 65, get screening tests.
But the screening tests to me seem to be that's the thing.
Get
the screening test and know where you stand, and maybe you just have something that's small and can be taken care of. But you know, maybe there's like you said, to be able to you know, you talked about a person who's going to have surgery now because you discovered something.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great feeling to know, instead of something really bad happening, I'm going to...
You caught it before.
Caught it before.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being willing to come in here and talk about this.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I got a bucket list item checked off.
You got to come in and do a radio show. And this was...
Yes.
You are a great guest to just describe things. And just because all of this can be done in so many cases, outpatient.
In the office. Yeah.
You really avoid different things.
Yeah.
So again, Oracle Heart VA.
Yes.
.com. We're glad you found Fredericksburg and you made it from Chicago to Norfolk to here.
Yeah, I'm glad Fredericksburg took me.
because again, this really is a great illustration of the fact that the things that you thought, well, I have this, but there's no way there's anybody in town that's going to be able to do this.
We are in town.
You are in town. Has Oracle been there for a long time?
Oracle has been there, over 10 years.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. They're a pillar of the community. The cardiologists have been there a long time.
So it's good to have these kinds of options available in the community. And if you run into any kind of vascular situations,
come see me.
It's great to have you in the community. Dr. Sadie Ahachi with Oracle Heart and Vascular. Again, oracleheartva.com. Thank you again for coming,
Ted,
up.
Ted, thank you so much for having me. I had a wonderful time.
This was good.
I did too.
I learned a lot. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.